would you like to overcome burnout? April Palmer will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about April is April helps people make sense of chaos without abandoning themselves in the process. And she blends strategy, emotional intelligence, and humor to explore how burnout, leadership, and identity actually live in the body and nervous system. And she's known for turning complex ideas into human conversations. And April believes healing starts when we stop pretending we are fine and start communicating honestly. So April, tell us about how can entrepreneurs who are perfectionists overcome burnout?
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.
I mean, first of all, I'm so happy to be here, and I'm really, really excited to like be on this side of the microphone because usually I'm the one who's listening to it. So that just is awesome. I suffer from the type of burnout that I get, which is like I expect perfection from me, but not from anybody else. I also have that like the how hard can it be gene. And so anything that I do, I'm just like, well, how hard can it be, right? And I do it. And then usually I try to tell myself like it's just good enough, right? Like this is, what would other people's standards be? I can't really make myself work to other people's standards, which is just kind of a crazy moment. And that's where I think like that we end up in this loop of burnout. And so one of the things that I've started doing is getting relentlessly curious up front about what everybody else expects from whatever it is that I'm trying to do. And so instead of just saying, like going with what I want to do, which is like, oh, you need that? I got it, is digging in and asking a ton of questions before I start and really saying to everyone involved, like, hey, I want to make sure that I'm delivering something or that we're delivering something that has a lot of meaning to you. And in order to do that, I need to nail down exactly what your expectations are, what you want to receive from this, and then use those conversations to guide also what I think is possible and right. Because otherwise, I'll try to, you know, like boil the ocean with whatever I'm trying to do. And you just can't do that and also have perfection.
Thank you. I'll give you a practical example, okay? So I'm not a team player. I am a person that likes to do everything myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't really like delegating, although I do have a team of outsourcers, which is kind of different. But many years ago, when I started working for this property management company, what happened is initially my partner was running a property management business and an English school. And initially he had me like run the English school. And then when the teachers quit, kind of like I took over from like six teachers, and okay. I was also selling the courses. Okay. And then what happened is he had like six people that were renting out rooms in flat shares. And what happened is one of them kind of went on holiday for like 2 days. And when she returned, I rented out two rooms that were vacant for a month for £250 per month more. And I mean, I did that in 2 days. Okay. And even though my partner at the time said, I don't think you can do it. I don't even know if you know how to do this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And what happened is that he had like six people that were doing that. And within no time, they had nothing to do because I just like was renting everything.
Oh my God.
And much more.
We're connected. I swear we're separated at birth because that's so the same.
But the thing is that first, I'm very competitive. Secondly, mm-hmm. I just like to do something for the benefit of the company because it lights me up to do that. And thirdly, I'm not a team player. So I didn't think about how they are going to feel, how they're going to like run out of salaries, how like all of that. I didn't think of that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But what had happened is like for 5 years, what ended up happening was like I was then the teacher, the course seller, and the property manager. And there was no need for anyone else. And I did that for 5 years. And I was working every day from like 8 a.m. until 12 p.m.
Right.
Including Saturday and Sunday. And I remember talking to my partner and saying, you know, like, I really kind of need to have like my own time as well to like go dancing or like play squash and go for a walk like I used to do. And he said, no, you know, like you have to get used to it because this is what entrepreneur life is like. You have to learn. You have to, you know, and I agreed. Yeah, I have to learn. But I really need my, you know, my relaxing time. Otherwise, right. I'm burn out. And he said, no, you don't need that. So gradually, I put on 30 kilos.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. after 5 years, I did burn out. And I burned out so badly. And there was nobody else to pick up the pieces. Like, there was nobody else to help there. There was nobody to delegate to. And gradually, like, the company just kind of started going worse and worse because I almost like a mental breakdown in the sense mm-hmm. that I just didn't want to do it anymore. I was just not motivated to do it anymore. Like, I had literally just reached this moment of burnout, and I didn't know how to overcome it. And I was burned out for like 7 years. I mean, I just gradually kind of switched off, and I was doing the bare minimum, and the company went worse and worse. Now I know that it's possible to do it a lot better, where you can get help, you can get like other people to do certain parts of the business so that you can kind of manage this a lot better. But I'm wondering for people that have gone through a similar situation where they're already at burnout stage, what is the blueprint to come out of this burnout? Because for me, it took me a really long time to come out of it. And I'm not at burnout now, but I can tell you I was depressed. I was burned out. I just didn't feel like doing anything.
Right. I mean, I feel like if you have burned out and done it in a spectacular fashion, like you did, and like I have, then like, if that sounds familiar, then first of all, you have to give yourself grace that it takes a long time to rebuild. Like if you're in the ashes, right, it takes a long time to rebuild. And what I see a lot of people do is they do what you just described, which is they kind of like just do the bare minimum, and they go into what I call survival mode, which is like I'm just doing the least amount I possibly can to kind of get through this. And if you think about that, there's nothing that's happening there to replenish you. Somebody told me once, you can't pour from an empty cup. And what we do when we pour into people and roles and companies that just take and take and take, and they're not feeding, they're not giving back to us and allowing us to replenish, is we get bone dry, right? And so you just can't, what do you do with that? You have nothing, and you have to manufacture something. And so, listen, like, it's not practical advice for everyone. It's not like, quit that job, right? And go do something else. Not everybody has that luxury. And right now, especially, you know, the job market is really hard. So I think a couple of things are really important. First is, like, you tried to advocate for yourself and you got shut down multiple times. We need to have conversations around what it means to advocate for yourself and to stick to it and really, like, to know yourself. Make sure you're in a role that makes sense for you. Make sure that you're working for people, you know, that lift you up. But sometimes that's just not possible, right? Like that is unfortunately the reality. And so we need to have conversations and training around how do you say these things and communicate them in a way that it resonates with the other person. One thing that somebody told me once, I think it was my dad whenever I was little, and it's something that I still remember, is he said, communication is, if you want someone to hear what you're saying, your role in communication is to speak on the frequency that they can hear. So the example that he gave, and this was way back when, was, you know, he speaks AM radio. That's like really dating me. I feel like I'm just so old right now. But he speaks AM radio. So it's like talk radio and whatever. I speak FM radio. I probably speak like Spotify now, right? Or whatever. I speak podcasts, and he's still speaking AM radio. But if I want him to hear me, I have to learn how to speak in AM radio on his frequency. And so when we're trying to, you know, communicate to someone that we need more support, then we need to be able to do it in the language that they understand. And then the other thing is find other ways to fill yourself up, to replenish. And sometimes that's out of work. Sometimes that means that you take a step back and you do the bare minimum at work, but you can't just drift. You have to find something that fills your soul, that gets you excited, that's, you know, that gets you going. Because otherwise it just takes a really, really, really long time. But I think so many of us have been there, and especially women. Like, we end up in a space where it's not just at work where we're pouring into people, but it's also at home. and in so many different and into our friend group, right? Like oftentimes, like I end up being the person who's like, let's do this, let's all get together, let's whatever. And eventually you become kind of the mom to everyone. And that also can be really draining because there's a lot of invisible load that goes along with that that we don't really talk about. Yeah, I don't know. Was that helpful?
Yes. Now tell me, for example, because I am not a mother. I've never been a mother. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a husband at the moment. So, but I'm thinking, for example, for women that let's say they work in a restaurant, because let's say they own the restaurant with their husband. And then mm-hmm. they also have, I don't know, three children, and they also have to like look after the husband and clean his clothes and, you know, put his dishes in the dishwasher and so on. How does someone like that, who appears not to have any choice in terms of like the burnout is going to be there, because it's like you have a 24/7 job. I mean, you have multiple 24/7 jobs.
That kind of overlap. So many.
So how does someone like that overcome burnout? Because the burnout is going to be like a permanent thing.
Right. I mean, this is where I think that we have to get really, really honest with one another and with ourselves and say, if you are in multiple environments that are draining you constantly, and you don't have a support system that helps lift you out of that, then you don't. Like, that's just the fact of the matter. You just burn and burn and burn until you are literally just surviving. I don't think that there's a good answer. Like, it sucks, but there's not a good answer for this. If you're in a situation where, you know, you're working full time, you're the primary caregiver of children, you also have, you know, a spouse that is kind of like having an extra child, and you have nothing that is filling your soul back up, then you just don't. Like, there's not a good answer for that. And that's where I think that one of the things that I work really hard on in my life is building community. And the times when I have been most burned out in my life, and it's multiple, right? Like, I have to learn this lesson over and over and over again in my life, is that when I was doing it alone and I didn't have any type of community support, there was no way out of it. And when I finally, you know, got my head out of my tush and decided to start to try to connect with other people, because I was so lonely all the time, like even in rooms filled with people, I was lonely. And I started to build those connections and create like a social safety net within my community. That's when I had other people to help lift me out of that and to give me the energy. And I think that that's really the only answer that we have.
Thank you. For example, I noticed that one technique that was quite useful when I was a nanny, for example, for other families, mm-hmm. was to have play dates with other children. Because, for example, when you have, I don't know, it doesn't matter if you have like one child or two children or even four, you know, if you manage to kind of get a system where either you have, you know, 2 days a week or 3 days a week, you have, you know, your four children or however many children, and then you have some other children from another family at your place, and they all have like a big chaotic play date.
Right. Yeah.
If you have them kind of like over and you manage to kind of organize them in the way that it's not so chaotic, and you still, you know, get them to kind of have a great time playing games and, you know, being, you know, mm-hmm. Respectful at home.
Right.
And then you have your children at their home for 2 days a week, for example, you kind of create a little bit of space. Where
a little bit,
kind of bit,
yeah. Like they kind of entertain each other, but also shared suffering is a thing, right? Like when you are in it together, and you're sharing resources, but also you're able to connect with somebody and just be like, "This is hard," and somebody else say, "This is hard," right? I do think one of the things that we see, children or no, right, and everyone kind of experiences this. I see it more, I think, with my women friends is this idea of what we're supposed to do, right? Who we're supposed to be and the things that we're supposed to do. And so we start comparing ourselves to lots of things. I spent a lot of time listening to, you know, thought leaders telling me how I should build my life and my routine so that it would support all of the success. For me, I was listening to a lot of men who had wives at home who were taking care of the home and the kids and all the things, right? So when they were like, get up at 5 a.m. and take a, like, do a cold plunge and then go run a 5K and whatever. And I was like, oh, if I don't do those things, then I'm not successful. If I don't do those things, I'm lazy. If I don't, whatever. Well, I've been a single mom for 21 years. Like, there's not getting up and running at five. And there was for a while. I tried it. I was doing triathlons and coordinating that was really, really hard. I'm not a morning routine girly. And so I'm like, I will 100% spare anybody the 5 a.m. cold plunge content. What I did instead was say, I need to figure out what works for me and what that looks like for me, and then not judge myself by what other people are doing that works for them. And that was really, really helpful for me. So one thing that I do is, because I'm not a morning girl, and I often am working, I have clients all over the world, so I'm often still working at 11:30, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't set an alarm. I just refuse. I do not set an alarm. There's not, it just doesn't happen. I wake up when I wake up. And so most of my work tends to happen at like 11 a.m. my time and throughout the day. But if I work late, or if I'm just not feeling, like if I just need some extra time in bed cuddling with my cats or whatever, I have zero guilt, absolutely no guilt about staying in bed in the morning. Now, my kids are adults and I can do that, right? I don't have to like get them off to school and do all of the things. But I figured out that that works for me. And knowing that I'm not going to have an alarm set in the morning that's going to jerk me out of sleep, and that I don't have to get up and just like immediately start the grind, is really helpful for me. And that's one of the major things that keeps me pretty level when it comes to like balancing my workload and having work-life alignment, those types of things. So you kind of have to figure out also, how do you work and how do you want to show up in the world, and then set that for yourself. And like, screw anybody who tells you that it's wrong. They're not you. They're not living your life. They don't know. And if they want you to live your life differently, then they should like come in and give you some sort of different level of support in order to do it.
Thank you. Tell me about what are some practices or routines or habits that you put in place as a single mom that gave you a lot of joy, that enabled you to kind of lessen the burnout that you probably felt every day?
Yeah. I love to, my kids are adults now, but when they were younger, I loved to play with my kids. Like just play. The way that schools are set up today, it was like you either had, like they want you to, you know, you have to pick up the kids. It's still during your work day, or they have to go to, you know, daycare or after school care, and they're all tired and gross. And then you have to feed them a home cooked meal, and you need to play with them, and then they have to do homework, and then they need a, you know, a reasonable bedtime and all those things. And that didn't, it was just too much for me, and especially as a single mom. So I tried to figure out how to integrate playing into what we're doing, you know? And so oftentimes we would do things like sit on the floor and eat dinner, and like certainly not home-cooked meals most of the time. Like that was, and I was okay with it, right? Like they were reasonably healthy, or at least they were getting some sort of nutrients into their bodies. Didn't matter. We'd sit on the floor, we play games. If it was like a spelling bee, one of the things that we would always do is the kids would sit across from me and I'd shout out a word to one of them. And if they spelled it right, I would throw a penny at them. Right. And we would just laugh about it. It was funny. If I didn't have pennies to throw at them, because I was really poor when the kids were young, I'd like, you know, throw a Fruit Loop at them or something, and they would try to catch it and eat it. And so I did a lot of kind of combining those things. I have just raging ADHD, and it gets even more raging the older that I get. If I have a list of things to do and they're kind of big tasks, it would shut me down because I didn't know where to start, right? So one of the things I would do is I would pick one priority for the day that was for work and one priority that was for like our life that wasn't playing with the kid, but like a thing, right? Like some sort of house cleaning thing or whatever. And then I would break it down into as many small doable steps as I needed to in order to do it. And I literally write a little box next to it and check it off. And so I can go down the list and be like, okay, you know, I made sure the dishwasher was empty, and then I put all of the plates in, those types of things. And it worked. It works for me. And it allowed me to kind of get the stuff done that I needed to get done on a daily basis reasonably well. And if I didn't, I didn't beat myself up for it. And if I, you know, and good enough was just good enough. And that's hard for a person, a perfectionist, to say sometimes.
Thank you. What about moms that want to do, I know, something healthy with their body, like, I don't know, to exercise? Were you kind of integrating some of that with your regular tasks, or were you kind of like trying to multitask, or what were you doing to kind of do as much as you needed to do in the least amount of time to kind of tick off some things?
Multitask all the way, right? Like there was no time for me to go to the gym. And even if there was time for me to go to the gym, somebody had to watch my kids, right? Like that also was not a thing. And also I didn't have any money. And so paying for a gym membership that was impossible to get to was just didn't make a lot of sense. But I do feel better when I move my body. And so that was just another thing where, you know, we would just make games. Like my kids are 24, almost 25 and 20. And I still, you know, will like send out a text message to the group and be like 10-minute trash dash. And like, everybody has to like run and get their trash can and bring it to the thing and then run around the house and make sure that there's nothing else there. And so we're just like scrambling to see who can gather the most trash as they possibly can, or, you know, 5-minute dish dash or whatever it is. And we still do that just because it's fun and it just makes, you know, doing chores a little bit easier. But also little things like, you know, I don't care if you look stupid. It's a thing. The kids and I would stand in line at the grocery store and see who could like hold a squat for the longest, or who could do the most squats by the time that they scanned all of our groceries or whatever it was. And did we look crazy? Yes. Do I have a nice ass? Also, yes. Right? So like, you do what you have to do.
Wow, that is so interesting. I remember when I used to work as a nanny when I arrived to London. And initially, I was like ironing, and I really dislike ironing. So I discovered a really fun way to make ironing more pleasant was to listen to audiobooks. And that's how I started learning. And also when I was learning, what I discovered was actually... I found it quite inspiring and empowering to listen to Brian Tracy, because he was talking about how you can learn the equivalent of a university degree in 1 year if you listen to enough audiobooks. And I was so motivated by that because I felt like I was behind. So I was like listening to so many audiobooks, and I think listening to those audiobooks were the thing that motivated me to write and publish my first book. And that's the thing that kind of opened the door to doing what I'm doing now. And I'm wondering whether there was anything that you integrated into your calendar that you're very proud of that helped you kind of like overcome burnout, aside from everything you mentioned, and that kind of involves, let's say, learning or growing as a person.
Yeah, I think a couple of things. One is today, now, because technology is awesome, I'm not really great at reading business books. I do so much all the time. Like, I work full time, I run a consultancy, I teach at VCU. I'm currently writing a novel, which has no business, you know, whatever. And I also am creating a podcast. And so that's like, it's kind of like a big, big project. And so all of these things happen. Today I use an app called Blinkist, and it distills books down into like 10 to 15 minutes. I listen to it on like 3x speed, so it's really more like 6 minutes. And I'll put it on just if I'm like driving to my co-working space or whatever, and just get like a snapshot of a book and a couple of ideas. And the thing that I like best about it is, because it's top of mind, while I'm listening, I pick one thing and I think, I'm going to try that today, whatever it is, right? So I'm just going to, like, that was a gem of wisdom that came out of this, so I'm going to try that. I do that a lot. I really believe in the power of like speaking positively to yourself and speaking positive things out into the universe. So, I listen to music that's it's a little bit woo, right? It's like a little bit manifesty. You're probably going to see one of my cats walk across the computer in just a second. So there she goes. You gotta go, bud. And but the thing that I did before technology kind of took over, and it's something that I've really kept up, is I do a couple of things. One is that I try at least once a day to show up for somebody in a way that I think that they can use, right? And they don't have to ask me, and I don't expect something in return. So I'm just showing up, like I just kind of have a list of people in my life and I go through it, and if I see somebody and I think, oh, you know what? I should probably introduce them to that person. And I do it. No expectations, no anything. And the other thing is that I ask for feedback from my network, and whether it's from work or people, but I like to surround myself with people who care enough about me to give me positive feedback, and not positive feedback, to give me honest feedback, right? And so sometimes it's positive, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's opportunities for growth. And so I try a couple days a week to reach out to people I know and say, hey, you know what? We had this interaction. Can you give me feedback on that? What could I have done better? How did this impact you? Those types of things. And I think that when you are pouring into the people around you, then without draining yourself dry, doing it in a way that is great for everyone, then good things come back. Like rising tides lift all ships. But it also helps me become just a better person when I'm getting feedback from people. And so people will say things like, you have started saying like a lot recently in your everyday conversation. So you might just try to not do that because it's distracting. Or they say, you start telling a story and you just keep talking and talking and talking, right? Whatever it is. And so that helps me become a better human.
Thank you. Tell us some hacks that you've applied for your cooking that helped you to overcome burnout as a single mom. And I'm talking about, for example, do you prepare stuff in advance? So do you prepare, I don't know, when you were maybe younger, when your children were a lot younger, were you like preparing lunch boxes in advance, or were you like freezing certain types of food that you were like reusing, or were you I don't know, give us some stuff that you were using that helped you to kind of save time and become a more
Right.
productive mom.
I wish I had a really great answer for you on this. Most of the time I was scrambling, and I was the mom who made macaroni and cheese and ate a couple of bites out of the pan while it was still so hot that you're like trying to suck in air 'cause it's burning your tongue, right? And then feeding it to the kids. One thing that really worked for me, the town that I lived in when my kids were quite little had what was called the Wild Oats. They eventually got by Whole Foods, but they always had the counters. And so I would go there and I would pick out like a couple of proteins and a couple of vegetables that I knew that my kids would eat, and then just take like Pyrex or Tupperware or whatever and just portion them out so that I could pop them in the microwave and then literally pop like a healthy meal in front of them. I never really figured out the lunchbox dance. It was kind of the bane of my existence. Sorry, buddy, you can't be in this. As a mom, like that's one of those. And at some point, I just had to say, you got to eat school lunch because I don't have a solution for this, and I don't have the ability to do it. And that's another moment of just being really honest with yourself and saying, I can't do everything. Like my kids are not going to eat a homemade meal or a packed lunch because I simply do not have the bandwidth for it.
Thank you. Tell us some of your top health hacks that you've implemented in your life to become healthier as a mom. Like, for example, do you ever prepare any like water with lemon or something else that is making you feel really great and helps you to feel a little bit more relaxed and less burned out?
I wish I was better at this. This is y'all, this is me just being like as vulnerable as I can possibly be. For me, water is like for bathing and surfing, and I'm very, very bad about hydration. I work at a co-working space on a regular basis, and they come in every day. When I come in, they pour me a glass of water and they hand it to me and they go, "Hydrate, don't dehydrate." And it might be the only glass of water that I drink all day long. I have no excuses for this. Like it's not that hard. It's just not something that I kind of have managed to do. I am very much though all about just walking outside, just being outside, right? Like you walk outside no matter what the weather is. I am a firm believer that there's no bad weather. There's just bad clothing choices. And, you know, I make those too sometimes, but at least just like go outside, breathe in some fresh air. If you can, walk for a couple of minutes. It doesn't have to be long. I try to get off Zoom calls, but when my kids were little, we didn't have Zoom, right? And so I would just put my headphone in and I would carry around my BlackBerry, and I would pace. I would just what the number of steps that I got pacing while I was on phone calls. And oftentimes I'd go outside and walk around. So I was out, I was getting fresh air and sunshine and all of those things. And then I also think having some grace with yourself, right? Like raising kids is hard. And so there will be some days that you're really, really, really good at taking care of yourself from a healthy eating and exercise and hydration perspective and meditation and all those things, right? And there are other days where taking care of yourself is taking a deep breath and saying, you know what, I did the best that I could today with, you know, the information and resources I had at hand, and tomorrow's another day. And you just have to be okay with it.
Thank you. Tell us your secrets for becoming so radiant and glowing and beautiful. How do you
Without water.
like how did you manage to remain so glowing and beautiful and so youthful looking, and despite all the potential triggers for burnout
Yeah.
and so many things that you had to do in your business?
I mean, I've gone through phases where I was not my like my face wasn't glowy, my heart wasn't glowy, my work performance wasn't glowy, and the way that I was showing up as a parent wasn't either. Those were really tough times, especially when my kids were younger. The joke that my friends and I always tell is I don't have somebody else's dusty old son stressing me out, so I don't have like stress lines. But I think the big thing that I do is I first of all, a lot of people will ask a question when something happens or if they're making a decision, they go, what's the worst that can happen? And I think that's fine. I tend to ask, what's the best that can happen? Like, what is the best that can happen here? And for me, that changes the stress level around things and just kind of how my body reacts to it. So you think physiologically, when you're stressed, your body increases its cortisol production. And so you tend to, you know, retain fluids, and oftentimes you see that come out in your skin and your sleep and all of those things. I like to ask, what's the best that can happen? And then there's a whole bunch of kind of my life going, it is what it is. Like, I did the best that I could with the information and resources I have at hand. Something is going to happen no matter what, and I'll deal with it because I've literally dealt with everything else that's ever been thrown my way. And now, today, I would say the thing that I have that keeps me the most youthful is not only my amazing kids, because they're adults now and we're besties and roommates, but I have an incredible community. So when something happens that I'm finding stressful, I can go to someone else and say, hey, this is sitting really heavy with me, and here's the support that I need. And I tell them, yeah, I don't need you to solve it. I just need you to listen. Or, you know, I need to just drink a bottle of wine with you and like cry. It's fine. And also, I'm obsessed with face serums. I don't wear makeup. It's not a thing that I do. So I use Lash by Lashes, and I coat my face with face serums every day and every night. And it makes me feel like I'm actually doing something kind of like healthy and good for myself. And I think it works.
Thank you. Do you use any health gadgets or anything else to kind of keep you glowing? And if not, is it that you implement some manifestation techniques like affirmations or anything else that you can give to other people so they can also overcome burnout and reduce stress?
I do. So I have one of those like SolaWave masks. I love it. One of the reasons why I love it is it makes me put down my phone and stop doom scrolling. And so I put that on, and I just love it. I also have a few years ago I ruptured my Achilles tendon and my posterior talofibular ligament. And I was basically in bed for like 6 months. I had three surgeries. It was crazy. And the doctor recommended that I get this like TENS unit. And so it's kind of like a bodysuit that you put on, you hook in, and it does like electrical impulses. And I still use that, which is which is kind of fun. It's been for years. And so if I can't get a good exercise in, or if it's winter and it's gross, I'll put that on. But the big thing, I think I said, like, I like listen to music with positive messages. There's an artist out right now. He just dropped a few songs with Queen Herbie, who I also just think is like so badass, but his name's Abel Hart, and he just sings affirmations. And so there's like, one is about like creating magnetism for goodness in your life. And one is about being lucky. Like, I'm feeling lucky. And they're like cool song. Like, they sound great. Right. And so I sing those, to myself out loud, and I dance like a crazy person. I'm not a good dancer, but I'm very enthusiastic. And so you'll see me in my house or in my car every single morning going, you know, I let the money in, I let the money flow, you know, whatever. And I just like, I just go for it. And I think that finding that joy and saying those messages out loud has had an amazing impact on just how I face the world every day.
Thank you. Tell us about how can someone cope better with being alone? Because I think if you're either like a single mom or mm-hmm. you don't have children, but you are single, sometimes it can be really hard. And sometimes it can be really, really great. Yeah. So, I mean, I've experienced kind of like both. And I'm wondering, like, what's the best way for someone to experience being single who would really prefer to be with a partner?
I believe that we should be absolutely smitten by ourselves and our friends. I really believe it. I don't date. It's not a thing that I do. I have by choice, like, I just have a really, really full life. And at this point in my life, it's hard for me to think about carving out any time to integrate somebody in a kind of a romantic or intimate way. But part of that is because I spend my whole life like dating my friends, right? And dating myself. I take myself out to eat. One of my favorite things is to go to the movies, and I stop by like Burton's Grill or the little sushi place down the road, and I stuff my part. Like, if you ever see me at the movies, I definitely have a steak, a baked potato, a Caesar salad, and some sort of dessert, and probably wine in my purse. And I go into the movie theater and just like eat and watch the movie, and I love it. It's one of my favorite date nights to take myself on. I'm in a position now, luckily, where financially I'm in a really good spot. And so I believe in kind of not leaving an empty seat next to me. And so for me, what that means is if I'm going out to try a new restaurant, and I love to eat by myself, so sometimes I just do that. But oftentimes I'll invite a friend and just say my treat. Like, come, I just want to connect with you, right? And so I'm dating my friends. I'm absolutely smitten with them. I love to, like, I find little things. I see them and I'm like, oh my God, this reminds me of RK. Or, oh my God, this reminds me of Nicole, right? And my car just has like a stash of things that I'll go drop off on people's porches and whatever. And what I find is when I do that, when I'm open enough to love on people in that way, very, very kind of fully, they love on me back. And so that's great for me because I have people who are feeling that. Now, is that dating? Is that like getting on a relationship escalator so that it's to, you know, like first we go out on dates and then we're dating and then we're engaged and we're married? No, but that's also not something that I find appealing. And so that's not something that I'm kind of working for. For people who are working on that, there are a couple of things. I have a lot of friends who are ready for their first marriage or their second, like their, you know, I would say I would make really good second wife material, but it's not, I don't think that's in the cards for me. Thank goodness. But the couple of things I've seen work, and like it works, is write down 100 traits that you want to see in a partner. And two things, like write them down, read them every day, like go through and read them. Also, try to embody those traits. Like you have to be the person you would want to be in a relationship with for the rest of your life, right? So if you want somebody who's kind to servers, then make sure that you are the type of person who is also kind to servers. So do that. And then don't be shy about about talking to people, you know, like try to have a conversation with one new person a day. Doesn't have to be somebody you would date, but those people know people, right? And so if you're making new friends and you're adding to your network and people find you interesting and engaging, like you'll find somebody. If you're just kind of running in the same circles that you're doing or like doing the same thing all the time, then, you know, that's rough. And I don't know about the apps because, ooh, I tried that once and I got so scared. I was like, I don't know what to do with it. Not like scared of the people, but just like, it was overwhelming. So I stopped.
Thank you. I was referring mostly about how does someone cope with singlehood? Like not necessarily to try to find a partner, but I mean, while they're actually single, how do they cope with the weight, with the weight of so much that they have to do temporarily while they're perhaps like looking for someone? And could be 6 months, it could be 5 years before they find someone who is suitable for themselves and their children. How do they kind of cope with that? You know, oh my God, I have to do all of this by myself.
Yeah, I mean, that's one I'm not sure that I can answer because that's not a thing. Like once I got divorced, I kind of was like, I'm good, yo. And so for me, it was easier to do all of the things than it was to also try to manage a romantic relationship. I tried it a few times, and it wasn't something that worked for me. But that's because I created a really, really strong community where, like, I have friends still today who I can call and be like, my house is out of control. Like, I don't have executive function. I don't like to clean. My house is out of control, and I can't seem to get it back in control, and it's impacting my mental health. And they will descend on this house, and they will help me. Like, they'll take everything out of every drawer and help me organize every single thing, right? And so that is what worked for me. But I don't know, for people who are seeking that and feeling like it's a burden to have to do the rest of it on their own, I don't have a good answer for that because that's just not the way that I'm kind of built or like interacting with the world or have for a really long time.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
I'm mostly on LinkedIn. It's pretty easy to find me as April Palmer, but you can also search for Hot Mess Boss on LinkedIn. And that's my URL. And I'm also on Instagram, also Hot Mess Boss. I'm getting ready to buy a new Jeep and an old Jeep, but it's new to me. My license plate is also going to be Hot Mess Boss. So like, that's where you can find me being Hot Mess, all kinds of places. And usually it takes me a few days to get back to a LinkedIn message because my inbox kind of goes a little bit nuts on a regular basis. But if you're like listening to this and you want to come be my friend, which I really want you to do because I love being friends and I'm good friend, I'm like a good friend to have. Let me know where you found me so that I can thank Lily for introducing me to like my next coolest bestie.
Thank you.
Heal Podcast with Lily Patrasco shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.